I want to start off this morning by asking you a couple of questions. Do you ever wish, and don't answer this out loud, just answer it to yourself, but do you ever wish that God would make you quit a bad habit? Or that God would make you quit a perpetual, ongoing sin? Or do you ever wish that God would make you do something like reading the Bible, or like going to church on a regular basis, or like praying, things that you know you need to do? Do you ever wish that God would make you do those things? Do you ever catch yourself doing something that you know is not right, and you're like, God, why don't you stop me from doing that? Well, this morning we're going to be looking at a key that will literally change your life. It will turn your life around, and it's probably not the key that you think it is. That's going to be the part that challenges you. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. If you've ever struggled with why God won't do all of those things, we're going to answer that question this morning. Now, I'm not going to read any specific scriptures out of Colossians 3 right now, but I'm going to be going down through there and pointing things out as we go through this message this morning. But here's the reason, and usually preachers don't give the main point right up front, but I'm going to give you the main point right up front. So you're not going to be missing the main point this morning. The main point of this message is God is not going to take control of you. You must take control of yourself. Now, we don't like that personal responsibility, do we? If you remember last week, we talked about the personal responsibility that we have individually to draw close to God, to bring our nation back to God. And I ended that message by telling you, folks, that it has to start with each of us taking the personal responsibility to build our relationship with God strong and live righteously like it should be. Well, we enjoy the blame game. It started with Adam. Remember what Adam said? When God said, Adam, why have you done this? Well, the woman that you gave me. He didn't just blame the woman, he blamed God as well. And we do that too. We have to admit that we like the blame game. But we cannot blame anybody else. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, and I'm just, like I said, I'm going to pick out some things as we go down through here and really show you that you are responsible for you. Verses 1 and 2, God says, you seek those things which are above. That's a commandment. God is saying, you have to do it. Verse 2, he says, you set your affections on things above. God is not going to take control of your mind. God is not going to take control of your actions. God said, you do these things. God is not going to make you live a Christian life any more than he made you get saved. God never overcomes our freedom of choice. Folks, if he did that, then everybody would be saved. If he overcame our freedom of choice, our freedom of will, then everybody would not only be saved, but they would be living righteous, godly lives, because that is his will for every single one of us. But it is our choice. It is our decision. As you go on down through chapter 3 here, notice he's responsible for doing all of these things and for accomplishing all these things. In verse 5, it says, you mortify your members of your body. God's not going to do it for you. You have to mortify or to take absolute control over the members of your body. In verse 8, you put off all of these things. God gives you the list of things to put off, but he holds you responsible for putting them off. In verse 9, you lie not, and you put off the old man. Verse 12, not only are we to put off all these other things, but in verse 12 it says to put on this other list of things. We are responsible. It goes on in verse 13, you forgive one another. Verse 14, you put on love. It's very clear to see that you are responsible for you. That does away with the blame game, doesn't it? You are responsible for you. God gives us all of the reasons, and you can read from Matthew all the way through Revelation. He gives us all of the reasons to live a godly life. But there's not one person that's ever lived that God forced to live a godly life. You are responsible for the life you live. That word responsible means you have the ability to act on or to respond to and to choose to do what you need to do or not to do. You are responsible. It involves personal accountability. You cannot forfeit that accountability to anybody. And I hear people all the time, and it almost gets to the point that I get sick of it. Of course, I'm always nice, but I just want to say to people every so often, just get a grip and realize that you are in control. Because I hear people say, well, it's got to do with the way I was raised. Okay, maybe you had a rough childhood. Maybe things went wrong in your life. You can look at a lot of people that are now Christians that are out there serving God that had it a whole lot worse than you. So now what's your excuse? They chose to overcome those things. You have to choose to overcome them and do what it takes to overcome them and live the life that God wants you to live. You cannot blame anybody else. Just like a lot of people that had horrible circumstances, there's also people that were raised in very godly homes that chooses to go astray from God. They are responsible for that choice, and God will hold them responsible. Folks, we are responsible for the choices that we have. God has put you in control. And we like to look at God all the time and say, well, God is the sovereign one. And yes, He is the sovereign one. And I really wish I had about 3 weeks on this, and we may pick this up when we come back from the National Association, because it's a joint effort, and we're going to try to point out part of that today. But you need to understand that you are the one that has the primary choice, and then God will assist you in that. And we're going to look at that a little more here in a few moments. But I want to read some scriptures to you from 1 Corinthians. And if you want to turn there, you can. If you want to write it down, you're welcome to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And I want you to notice that as we go through this, that all of these people had the same opportunities. They had the same benefits, but a different outcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1, says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should not be ignorant." In other words, Paul's saying, I want you to know right up front. And I'm telling you the truth about all these people so you'll know how to make good choices. He says, "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, how that all of your fathers were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now look at verse 6. These things were our examples. All of these people had all of the same benefits. They were all baptized into Moses. They all did eat the same spiritual meat. They all drank of the spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not pleased. What would be the difference? Some chose to do what they knew was right. Some blamed others. Some put it off. Who knows what all their excuses were. But every one of them was responsible for their own being. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, Paul says this, "You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Did you notice there that he did not say that Christ is going to bring every thought into captivity for you? He says, you have to bring it into captivity. You know, a lot of times we want God to take care of Satan for us. Well, guess what? He's not going to do that either. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God is not going to resist Satan for you. We try to put the blame off on God. We try to put the blame off on Satan. Try to put the blame off on others. But folks, God has given us the power and the responsibility and the accountability to resist Satan. He says, you resist him, and he will flee from you. A lot of times we're waiting on God to do something that he's not going to do. Why doesn't God make Satan leave me alone? Because he's told you to do it. He's told you to do it. All of us that are parents or grandparents, we can understand that. If you tell your kids to go clean up their room, who are you expecting to do it? Them. And shame on you if you go in there and do it. If you've told them to do it, then they are responsible. The same way God has told us to do it. And he is holding us responsible. He tells us what to do, and then he expects us to do it. He holds us responsible for doing what he said to do. Now, I want you to listen to me very, very closely right here, because this is where we get off track sometimes. When we are living according to God's Word, and when we are doing the things that we know that we should be doing, and that we are taking control of ourselves, then God and all of heaven will step in and assist you, and will strengthen you, and will give you wisdom. But until you take the first step to do it, God has nothing to work with. We have to be doing our part, and then he comes alongside us and gives us the strength and gives us the wisdom. And by the way, if you're reading and studying your Bible, guess what? That's where you're getting some of the strength. And if you're praying, that's where you're getting some of the strength. And if you're meditating on the Word of God, that's where you're getting some of the wisdom. And so you have to be doing all of the things you need to be doing. And then God comes alongside of you, but nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that God tells us that he is control and that he is going to make us live for him? We must accept our responsibility and take control of our lives and do what we must do to be strong in the Lord. Even in that, God says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you strength. He says, you be strong in the Lord. Right back on us. Here's how a lot of us are. We go to God in prayer and we say, God, please help me. God, I need you. Please, please, please help me. When in reality is what we're meaning is, God, I want you to do this for me. We are wanting the easy way out. We are wanting God to come in and just take control, and we give him all the responsibility, and since he's in control, then he can just take care of it, and we can just go on our merry way. It doesn't work that way. I know Tim is a very generous, kind-hearted man. I wish Georgette was in here to hear this. I guess she'd be back in a minute. You'd like for her to hear it too, wouldn't you? But if I asked him, Tim, I really need some help. Could you come over and help me mow my yard? I think he would do it. But what would it be like if Tim came over to mow my yard? I said, well, Tim, mower's right over there. Call me when you get done, okay? Kind of an insult, isn't it? Folks, that's exactly what we're doing to God. We're asking God for help, and then we're saying, okay, God, the problem's right over there. When you get it taken care of, come let me know. Doesn't work that way. That's an insult to God. We ask Him for His help. He's there to help. And yes, I do know the Bible says to cast all of our cares over on Him. But folks, we have to be doing the things that we need to be doing. The whole list that we read over there in Colossians. We have to be doing the things that we are responsible for before God can step in and help us. Now, I do have good news for you in all of this. And that is, since we are in control, that any time we decide, we can choose to start following God with all of our heart. You can decide and you can choose to start studying God's Word any time you decide to. But until you decide to study God's Word, it's just going to be a book sitting on the coffee table or on the shelf or in the back window of your car or wherever you leave yours. But you can choose to start studying His Word. You can choose to start controlling the bad habits. You can choose to be committed to Him. You can choose to resist Satan and to resist the temptations that are out there. But folks, again, we are the ones that have to make those choices. You are in control of your thoughts. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive. If we were not in control of our thoughts, God wouldn't have told us that. We are in control of our actions. If we wasn't, then Paul could not have said that he took his body and put his body into subjection. You are the one that is in control of your life. Now, I'm going to read you here a commitment that one man made to God, and you don't have to, of course, memorize this word by word, but I hope that the spirit of this really speaks to you, and when you leave here today, you say, yes, that's the kind of commitment that I'm going to make to God so that God can do something with my life. I don't even know who wrote this, but it's good. He said, I am part of the unashamed. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I want to stop right there. If you notice, he said he stepped over the line, and he has already made the decision. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tainted vision, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, topped, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk with patience, lifted in prayer, and labor with power. My fate is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go on until He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me because my banner will be clear. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I am here till it's over. That's a man that's made a decision, isn't it? And like I said, I encourage you to make that kind of a decision because, again, it is your choice. You can choose today to completely follow and surrender God. You can take control of your mind. You're going to have to do several things. First of all, the Bible says, again, to take every thought captive. One of the best ways to take every thought captive is not to let the junk get into your mind. Then you don't even have to take it captive. If you're watching a show you don't need to watch, turn the crazy thing off. Amen. If you're reading something you shouldn't read, or listening to music you shouldn't listen to, turn it off. You have the power to reach up and flip the switch on that. And if you didn't have the authority and the power to take every thought captive, then God would have never told you to do it, but He did tell you to do it. We also have control of our body. Now, I hear a lot of people sometimes say, well, I just couldn't help it. Yes, you could. You don't want to. Just like sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I want my third piece of cake and going, why in the world am I eating this third piece of cake? Or Diana's not sitting there trying to force it down me. God's not sitting there forcing it down me. Satan's not sitting there forcing it down me. I chose to do that. I can take control over my body and over my actions, and I can put the third piece of cake down, or the second piece of cake down, or even the first piece of cake down. We have the control over our body. We have control over our actions. I've actually heard grown men before that had a reputation of beating on their wives, and they said, well, I just can't help it. Well, it's always amazed me that they can help it when somebody bigger than them shows up and tells them to stop. What they're really saying is, I don't want to stop. But when somebody's bigger than me shows up, I will. So they really had the choice all along to stop. They just didn't choose to stop. Folks, we have to come to the understanding that you are in control. We've all heard that statement before. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Yes, he may have put the thought in your mind. Yes, he may have put the temptation in front of you. But you are the one that made the choice to follow through on it. The devil never made anybody do anything they didn't want to do, because the Bible tells us to neither give place to the devil. We have power and authority over him according to God's Word. And God's not in control of you. I know I busted some of your balloons today because you always thought God was in control. God's not in control of you. Never has been. Never will be. You are a free moral agent. There is nobody in control of you except you. So this morning you have a decision to make. Are you going to take control of you? I hope you do. And I hope you make a decision that you're going to serve God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. You know, I like what Joshua said. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to put that in Greg's language. He was saying, we have decided that we are going to take control, and we are going to do what we know we need to do, and me and my house, we are going to serve God, and we are going to follow His statutes, because we understand it's our choice. Amen. Now, here's the really good news about this whole message. Once you decide to do what God wants you to do, then nobody can stop you from doing it. Once you decided that you're going to be committed to God, nobody can keep you from being committed. And yes, I understand there's some circumstances and some situations, but I've seen a lot of people in horrible circumstances that still served God, still prayed, still studied their Bible, still did everything that God wanted them to do. Folks, it all boils down to this. You are in control. And if you're not happy with your life, you have the choice to change it. And you can change it by getting into the Word of God and seeing what God wants you to do. And then doing it. It's that simple. But the problem is it's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do. It's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do. It's very easy at times to blame other people or to blame circumstances. But I promise you, when you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you about your circumstances. He's going to ask you, did you live according to my word? And that's what we're going to have to give an account for. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. And I thank you first and foremost for the example that your Son Jesus Christ set for us. And the song we're getting ready to sing about following in the footsteps of Jesus, that's all that you're asking us to do, is to follow in his footsteps and to follow his example and to do the things that you want us to do, that we might bring glory and honor to you, and that we might live the life that you want us to live. And Father, it's up to us to make the choice to live that life. And I just pray, Father, this morning that you would speak to hearts. And if there's anybody here that's been blaming others, that's just been kind of meandering through life and living with mediocrity when they don't have to, I pray that you would move upon their heart today. And that you would show them that you have a great life for them, but they have to take control of themselves and make themselves live according to your word before you can move in their life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.